Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. About a minute ago, and I love the fact tonight that God's word doesn't return void. Amen? Amen. Now we've got a serious message though tonight. The message title is Stand Up for Truth. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Daniel chapter 3. If you can turn there, I told you earlier you're going to have to bear with me. I breathed some dust off of Durrock today. And long story short, it feels like it's concreted my throat. So I may hack and drink water, but you bear with me. We're going to look at verses 4 through 6, and then we're going to skip down to verses 8 through 23 because we don't have time to do the whole chapter tonight, which is what I really would like to. But I'll start off with something, and if it offends you, it's going to have to offend you. Just enjoy it. On June 1st, the Democratic governor of California, in a press conference, you can read the entire transcript of his press conference, and his quote is this: "For those of you out there protesting, I want you to know that you matter. To those who want to express themselves, God bless you. Keep doing it. Your rage is real." By the way, the man who made that public statement affirming those gatherings at that time had banned all Christians from meeting in church. He had shut down all the haircutting places and many other businesses. As he celebrated what we saw in the lawlessness and was banning gatherings of people, what were we seeing? He began to penalize churches financially and threaten them with arrest for assembling to worship Jesus Christ, but yet celebrated ones who at many points became quite lawless and gathered in numbers that were way by the hundreds and in some cases thousands, without one word spoken by the mainstream media or anyone else for that matter denouncing it. Yet there was a rally this week in Florida by one of the candidates, and guess what? What was the news coverage all over about how this last night before the election, the president had a rally? How dare him do that and threaten all of these people? Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you one thing. If you don't see the double standard that has arisen in our culture, you are blind. And I don't care if you like this, it doesn't matter to me, because I know one thing. You and I have got to stand, and we've got to be objective, and we've got to be able to look at reality, because I want to tell you what happened yesterday. This is why this all started. I stopped to talk to a man that I've seen for 7 years and I've never had a conversation with yesterday. And I stopped and I said, "Hello, sir," blah, blah, blah. I start talking, and this man knew me more than I knew him. And he says, "Hey, I got a question for you." This isn't a church-going man. He doesn't go at all. This is unchurched, completely unchurched man. You ready for this? He says, "I have a question for you. How can somebody, one of you church people," ready? "One of you churched Christian peoples, how can y'all vote for Democrats?" He said that to me. "How can any of you," and I'm like, "Ooh, this is interesting. How could you do that?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "It doesn't take anybody to recognize that the Democratic platform that my family, my grandparents, my parents, and everybody is not the same party that it was. It is one that supports," he says, "homosexuality and everything that's against what y'all believe in the Bible." I was actually quite taken aback that a man who was completely unchurched would have asked me that question. You know what I responded to him? "Good question, sir. Because I can't." I said, "I don't vote for a person, I vote for the platform of what the person represents." And I said, "As a follower of Jesus Christ, I have the convictions that are laid out in God's word. And I said, at the end of the day, I will stand before the Lord based upon the convictions that I live out in line with his word to the greatest of my ability." You know that the vice presidential candidate on the Democratic side presided over the first homosexual marriage in California? I can send you the video. Is that the America that we want, church? That's the problem, though. That stuff's not been put on TV. Low information voters, they've not put that stuff on there. You can look at the thing with the FBI profiler. Josh, you've probably seen it with the candidate that was on the other side also. And the very egregious things that one after another in public forums. But I say this because, church, we've been systematically sold a bill of goods for the last 4 years, attacked. The President of the United States, not legitimate. A woman made that head covered in blood. Can you imagine had they done that for our last president? Can you honestly imagine the outrage? But yet, what have we dealt with, church? Whether you agree with them or not, I don't care. You'd have to say, I'll be honest with you, whether you agree or not, the way he's been treated has been shameful. And I have, every person who's mentioned this to me, I've said, let me tell you, I'm a pastor and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And if I was in his position, probably everything he's said and done would look tame compared to the way I'd respond. I'm serious. That man can handle a pressure that I cannot begin to imagine. We have a person that after 47 years, society has the way and the fix for our country, church. Come on. Are we really that blind? This is the first time in history, church, that healthy people have been quarantined. You know this? First time in the history of our country that healthy people have been quarantined. By the way, it wasn't the direction of our leader. It was a direction systematically done to uproot the economy to try to achieve what was going to possibly happen yesterday. That's why, because what was happening, everything was going awesome, and there was only one way, and you call it the nuclear option. We're going to look at a scripture tonight. In Daniel chapter 3, a story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you're going to see that there were lies that were used to distort truth. There were lies used to distort the truth so that truth would be suppressed. You wonder why, and I read an article today about CNN, and it says if the president is not going to be our president anymore, they've got a big problem. Because their whole entire platform of their network has been attacking the president, and this were people on their own people who said, we got an issue if he doesn't win. Because we are not going to attack, they said this word for word, we're not going to attack the Democratic president. So we're going to have to figure out a whole new trajectory of our network. I kind of scratched my head a little bit and go, why don't we just be the news? Amen? Why don't you just present the facts and let the people determine what they think and believe? Why don't we just do what we should do? See, we can't do that because Romans 1. They've exchanged the truth for a lie. That's what's happening. Church, there is not righteousness and godliness that's embraced and exalted in our culture anymore. What is? By the way, if you want to know if it's jaded, you tell me how long it took for anybody to cover all of those children that had were, praise God, brought out of all of those. You remember this? You know what I'm talking about? The numerous cases of trafficked children that were brought back, taken out of these situations. Anybody see any on the mainstream media? Crickets. Why? Church, why? Should that not be the front page story for every network? You do the research on why it wasn't, and you will be shocked. I hope you found Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 through 6 again, and then 8 through 23. And if you're able physically, let's stand tonight out of reverence for the reading of God's word. A herald loudly proclaimed, people of every nation and language, you are commanded, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the drum, and every kind of music. You are to fall down and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the furnace, blazing fire. Move down then to verse 8. Some Chaldeans took the occasion to come forward and maliciously accuse the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. You, as king, have issued a decree to everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, zither, lyre, harp, the drum, and every kind of music. They must fall down and worship the gold statue. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire." Now there are some Jews who have been appointed to manage the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men have ignored you, the king. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. Then in a furious rage, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to bring in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar asked them, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold statue that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue that I have made. But if you do not worship it, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire, and who is the God who can rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you to know, as king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than was customary. He commanded that some of the strongest soldiers in his army tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So these men, in their trousers, robes, head coverings, and other clothes, were tied up and thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Since the king's command was so urgent and the furnace extremely hot, the raging flames killed those men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the furnace of blazing fire. Father God, thank you, God, for this story tonight. Lord, we thank you for this story because just like during this period of time, God, we're full of an era in our history when lies and deception and truth that is blinded, Lord, and the enemy has so distorted the loudest of voices, Father, so that even our youth, God, have been so deceived. Father, I pray, Lord, tonight that your word would go forth in power. Father, I pray that the things that are important to you, Lord, and the decisions that we make, whether it's voting or in our daily life, God, would align with your word, your truth, not what my parents, my grandparents, your parents, grandparents, or anyone else's, Father, for that matter. Lord, we will stand on the truth of God's word, your unchanging truth that first and foremost calls us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And the second commandment, God, is to love our neighbor as ourself. God, we know number one tonight, life is the most important issue to you. God, I pray that your word would go forth in power tonight, Lord. That you would transform hearts, God. Bring us in line with your will, your way, your glory, dominion, honor, and power. And we ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Listen to verse 5 again. When you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, zither, the lyre, the harp, the drum, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. You know what is interesting is God laid that message on my heart, and I read that part of it right there. Is it not amazing that that is kind of the same drumbeat right now of political correctness? Oh, how dare you make an opinion that has anything in any way that varies from the mainstream media's opinion and what they're blasting out or blaring out, because I'll tell you, by the way, when you have an opinion of someone else who comes on to a talk show, especially, they actually shut them down now. They'll step pull their microphones. Now, wait a second. Again, just because someone doesn't line up with your opinion, will you not even hear their opinion in the first place? You remember years ago when there was this big push for tolerance? Remember this? Y'all remember this? Anybody remember in the 80s? Started in the late 80s and then in the 90s? Remember what it was, right? Listen, you just need to tolerate us. You know, hey, you just need to be nice. You need to be tolerant. You need to just embrace and not love everybody, right? Has anybody watched what's happened now to the people who cried that? That was their drumbeat. You know what happens now if you ever have a conversation with a person like this and you share your conviction spiritually? Have you ever done this? I have. Firsthand, multiple times. Does anybody know? They devour you because they tolerate you as long as you don't have an opinion in any way that differs from theirs. And then guess what happens? You become the one that needs dealt with. Y'all know Dolce & Gabbana? They make those bags, high-dollar bags, okay? They're proudly homosexual couple. Well, there was this big thing with this trans movement last year. Anybody remember this? They have a real conviction. They struggle with that. They say this ain't right. You're made what you're made, and well, end of story. You're kind of like scratching your head, but hey, they publicly stated, like, listen, that we have an issue with that. We don't like that. You know what happened? They turned on them like rabid wolves. Boycotts. Can't believe you intolerant bigots. The very people that they stood with and they had locked arms with surrounded them and attacked. So what does that say to us? Well, Jesus promised us that we would be hated by all people for truth, for him, for his name. So therefore, the very mention of Jesus screams the exclusivity of Jesus Christ as the singular source of salvation. So where does that present a problem? Anybody who believes there's another way, there's another truth, and there is another gateway. So how do we deal with that? Do we just say, well, you find your own truth and I'll find mine? No, you have to shout the truth in love. Did John the Baptist go, listen, guys, either maybe kind of start confessing your sin or, you know, something bad might happen, but, you know, that's your deal to deal with. No, John the Baptist said, repent or you will perish. Put that on CNN, friends. See what happens. Amen? It's not going to be pretty. And guess what? You surely don't want to read the comments after they put your video on that, because you would be astounded at the level that people will attack you, actually. You would be. First thing that I want to share with you comes out of that verse that I share with you, verse 5. Knowing truth helps, don't forget this, helps protect you from deception. Now, y'all, you might take that, right, take the help out. Knowing truth protects you from deception. No, it doesn't. Don't only be hearers of the word and so deceive yourselves, be doers also. I actually told Dan Brown not to ever tell me, because one day I could not believe it. He said, yeah, a lot of churches won't let me in. I went, do what? He said, I went, what are you talking about? Well, it's too politically sensitive. They don't want that trouble in their church. I said, Dan Brown, please don't ever tell me a church that won't let you in their church. I would have a really bad attitude about it, and I can't do that. Amen? But I want to tell you right now, and I'll say this because y'all are you're the body of Christ here. If a church will not have Tennessee Right to Life in their body because that is too contentious, I would actually say they disinvite the presence of the Spirit of God. Because I want to tell you something. If you and I, as a body of Christ, have an issue protecting the very gifts of God that were knit together in the mother's womb, we've got a problem. And if you think that's offensive, can you imagine what sin and the work of Jesus Christ for salvation would be? Amen? That's the truth. Salvation is foolishness to those who what? Are perishing. When you and I are scared to confront the reality of sin and God's call in our life and are able to objectively step back and look at our truth versus God's truth, if you're not able to say to yourself, hey, I might be a little off in this thing. We've got issues. How many times have you or I dealt with something in our life that maybe we thought was right and maybe it wasn't? Anybody? You know what I don't do? Ask him about that. I didn't turn on that news. I don't want nothing to do. I'm sickened by it. Why in the world do I want to open up my door and dump filth in the middle of my living room floor? Because that's what it is. It's slander. It's lies. And I don't want, it's like turning on a literally living National Enquirer. It might have gotten better, but when I was a kid, I mean, the aliens just landed in Utah, you know, it was crazy stuff. But that's what it is. It's not objective truth. If they do an interview with a Christian, they're not going to stand there and objectively share. No, they're going to cut it down and they're going to make it to be something it was not. And I think it's wrong. I think it's completely and absolutely wrong. Because it doesn't honor God. It doesn't glorify Him. All it's done is to get salacious headlines and to destroy people's characters. And it is not godly. It is not loving. It is not righteous. And it is not holy. But see, the best way in the world to deal with it is to turn it off. Because then you know what you do? You can do what I did last night. You can go to sleep. John said, Daddy, you've been watching? I said, no, son, I'm not doing it. I'm not getting baited into it. He stayed up till 2 o'clock this morning with a bunch of them. I said, you learn anything? Nope. They didn't figure anything. I said, look at that. I was in bed at 7 o'clock last night, and I slept. Look at you, son. You had to go on a hike or whatever today, and now you're wore out. Why? Because you watched a bunch of that old crazy. Think about it. But we have to be the ones that decide in our lives to say, you know, there's got to be a line that we finally draw. Because if not, they'll continue to reel us in, and every single one of us will become nothing but, they call it clickbait. The person who bites on the next little nibble that comes down the road, and you end up being a, call it drama queen. You live on that drama, and you live within the mess that what? Who fashions it? They do. Do you want objective truth in your life, brothers and sisters? We can't just get in the New Testament and read about Jesus' miracles without confronting sin, can we? Amen? What is the Bible? It's the what counsel of God's word? The full. So the same way in the Bible that we can't just take and read the New Testament and say, well, I don't like the Old Testament, because you're not going to get a full picture of the truth. The new covenant makes no sense without the old covenant. Amen? The same way with the news story. When you don't get the whole story, what are you able to do? Nothing. And the other thing is negativity. How many people in here have any room for negativity? Amen. I don't either. How many times have you gotten on, and those of you who watch news, how many times in the last week you got on there when you got done going, wow, man, I feel so much better. This was so encouraging. I'm literally so excited to go out into my day right now because they have literally blown sunshine and glory into my life. Thank you. If you're honest and like I was, you actually feel like somebody came and dumped a garbage truck on you. You honestly feel filthy. Because what did you hear? Well, you heard about a bunch of people that didn't have no ability to defend themselves. You had people that were snipping it out, and they presented what they wanted to present with no ability for someone to refute. Guess what? This is what's happening right here. They had been lied on. They had had someone deceive the king. And now, the fury of the king is on them from what? Lies. Listen to verse 8 through 13. Ready? So some Chaldeans, they took that occasion to come forward and, ready, maliciously accuse the Jews. By the way, you know that's still happening now in cultures all over. There's been a lot of this stuff that has, in the last 2 or 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, good night all over. It's in Iran. You know, they still deny that the Holocaust ever even happened. This current day, deny it. They said, it's one big sham. So here we go. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. You, as king, have issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music must fall down and worship the gold statue. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. There are some Jews you have appointed to manage the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have ignored you, the king. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you set up. Again, one huge, bold-faced lie. And they're on the receiving end of it with no ability to defend themselves. Second thing I want to share comes out of that. Knowing truth can help you see the enemy. Notice again another word in there. Knowing truth doesn't say helps you see the enemy. Can help you see the enemy. Interesting how one little word changes the whole entire thing, doesn't it? The same way in the last one. Knowing truth helps protect. You and I can have the knowledge, but if we do not utilize it, we can sit there like the Pied Piper and be led straight to Hades itself. Don't only be hearers and so deceive yourselves. Be doers also. Knowing truth can help you see the enemy. See, it's interesting here because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you either think, well, they're either on some medicine or they are not. They're about, you know, 2 liters short of a gallon because they're getting ready to go in front of this king and it's going to be really nasty. And they're just like, well, whatever, what's up? See, what was awesome was they knew who the enemy was. They knew that it wasn't the God that they served. They didn't know why they're being dragged up in here in the beginning there. What's going on? Oh, you want to, okay, well, we're not doing that. Sorry. No, I'm sorry, they didn't ever say the sorry. They were not going to apologize for their passion and their love for the Lord. Even when facing complete and utter physical ruin in the midst of the assembly, I might add. Verses 16 through 23, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. Wow, it's almost a little testy there. If the God that we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times, more than was customary. He commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them in the furnace of blazing fire. Something interesting here. You ever thought about the soldiers that he commissions to tie them up? It says right there, some of the strongest soldiers in his army. Now, when I went out to Camp Lejeune, let me just enlighten you. There were some bad dudes out there. Now, when I say some bad dudes, listen, these dudes were almost 10 foot tall and bulletproof looking. They had muscles on their muscles, about three stacks deep. I mean, these dudes were flat out ripped. Monstrous. One guy was my age, John's master sergeant. Man, that dude looked like He-Man at 45 years old. I mean, he was just plumb swelled up. And people, Eddie knows they're at the gym, right? Yeah. I would have to say that I bet they were a whole lot bigger than that. I bet these dudes back then were bad to the bone. So you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and let me just encourage you to say, I can promise you they were not. Remember, they're eating these vegetables. They're looking healthy. They're very healthy, and they look, you know, really good looking. But they weren't ripped, right? They weren't the strong soldiers. They weren't trained. No, they were just three dudes doing God's will, man. What's up? Remember what else they were? Anybody? They were what? Eunuchs. You know what that does? No testosterone, friends. They weren't no muscled up people. Okay? So, can you imagine when they're faced with these monsters, the furnace, all they've got to do is bow down and go, you know, hey, let's just pretend it and we'll go later on and we'll do our thing. What an option. Compromise was not an option to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Because they knew the power of God intimately. You know what else they knew? They knew they had to stand up for truth, no matter what the cost was. I applaud every pastor, I applaud every church member in California that refuses to listen to the orders from that governor. Shame on him. I pray he comes to saving faith in Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. I pray blessings on him, but shame on him for trying to hinder the body of Christ from meeting and fellowshipping together when lauding and applauding mayhem on the other side of his mouth at the same time. We sat back as Christians long enough and we just said, well, we're just not. No, we've got to stand up for truth. We've got to stand up for truth no matter what it cost and do what John MacArthur said. Well, he said he's going to put you in jail. What'd he say? Well, I've always wanted to do jail ministry. And he didn't even say that to be a joke. Because John MacArthur loves the Lord. He's 80 years old. And hey, praise the Lord, what a chance to minister. But what about these churches that are charging $500 a person? Not a word. Please tell me, have you heard one person denounce these massive gatherings? Tell me. Anybody? Nobody said anything in Nashville, did they? No one said anything anywhere. You know, they had an outdoor gathering in Nashville for Christians. They got on to them. They're investigating it. They're investigating the people that went out to the beach and had the baptisms in California, investigating them. John has one of his units has been out in California in the desert in the open training. They said the governor's furious. John told me yesterday. They might keep him another 10 days because he's so angry that they would have chosen to train in the desert right now. This is true, church. If we don't know truth, but more importantly, if we don't act on truth, what are we? What are we if ultimately they try doing this again, shutting everything down? There is a real hell where real people are going to spend their eternity. I have a guilt about the 3 months that we shut down already. I do. You know why? Lord, I pray that I did what I was supposed to do, and I did to the greatest of my ability. But what if there was someone or many someones that didn't know Jesus Christ that would have stumbled into this body of Christ? And I know I shouldn't do that, but at the same time, how can I not? Because it matters and it's important. Those are the things of the heart, the things of eternity. How many people right now in California are not hearing the gospel? How about Atlanta right now? Charles Stanley's church is not going to be open until next year. Well, that's online. Come on, church. You going to tell me? Thank you. No, there's not many people getting online and watching church. I'm sorry, but what I tell you, 80% of people after week three weren't even watching, and that was universally in the church bodies. Nothing bad, not to say nothing bad about you, but it's not, that's not church. Yes, it's great substitute if you're sick for a week or two, but Brother Ron, I know they'll tell you like we did, it's not fun when you're sitting at home and you're isolated. It's not fun. I don't know how and why people want to choose to do that once they don't have to, but that's just the reality of things. Amen? That third and final thing. What are you willing to lose for God's truth? My dad lost two churches. Might have told you before. He had to take a biblical stand. And I mean, each one of you, if I sat down and told you what it was, you said he did the right thing. I'm sorry, he lost two churches and one teaching job at a very prestigious high school in Florida. It actually was a Catholic, mainly predominantly Catholic school. My dad was teaching the gospel. He taught New Testament. And he was teaching grace and through faith in Jesus Christ. They came to him and said, hey, we got complaints about this. You're getting a little bit too much on this spirit stuff and all that. We just need you to calm back down. My dad, he had a crisis of faith, couldn't do it. That was when I didn't realize at that time, my dad loaded up a moving van and moved us with no idea what he was going to do or where he was going. If I'd have known that as a kid, I'd have had a complete meltdown. I thought, well, man, dad's got it under control. By the way, we stayed in a nursing home. I will tell you, that's about the most depressed I've been in my lifetime. We went up to Charlotte and we're staying in a nursing home. I remember I'm 9 years old. We're staying in a nursing home. I'm getting out and everybody's wanting, I'm like, what are we doing here? My dad didn't say anything, didn't know how long we're going to stay there. I'm 9 years old. My dad didn't know where we're going to go. Long story short, a church had an open one to pastor. My dad put in his resume. They interviewed with him. And a week or two later, my dad was pastoring this little church in Charlotte. Not little, it was a decent-sized church in Charlotte. First church he pastored. Remember, we had the ministry of the homeless in the back. Remember, in the basement? And somebody said one day, when a nice-dressed family come in there, they went, these are the kind of people we want here. As my dad's ministering to the homeless, ministering to anybody. Anybody he can get his eyes on, my dad's ministering to. He had a crisis of faith. Because at that point, you go, wait a minute. The trajectory of the church, we want this kind of, we don't want this. I've not come to call. What is the ministry? Long story short, my dad, God moved my dad to church in Bristol. God blessed at Exponential. By the way, one in Charlotte's gone. There's no church now. Gone. They had police officers within a few months of my dad leaving. They had to have a police officer that was fighting so bad. Went to Charlotte, or Bristol. Loved it there. My dad and mom loved it. Sold a cabin that we built in the mountains when I was 12 years old. My brothers, we built a cabin, log cabin, built the whole thing by ourselves. That was a little mountain getaway. Moved to Bristol. Hey, man, you're in the mountains. It was gorgeous. They loved it. They wanted to stay there forever. Had another one of those issues come up. It was a result of someone coming and saying, hey, I think there's something going on unbiblical that I don't like. My dad took it before the press. Hey, they had made a ruling on it that what had been going on, my dad had no idea about, had no clue. Was not in line with Scripture. So my dad said, hey, this deal that's going on, we got to deal with this, got to get right, because I want to be in line with God's word. They said, you're not, the heck we are. God moved my dad to Baltimore. There 15 years. God blessed that church. They, to this day, all the people drive down and stay over see my parents. Moved my parents where? In the middle of the city. They didn't like the city, but they went where God wanted them to go. I'm saying this so that all of us recognize sometimes doing the right thing will cost us. It'll hurt. But when it's God doing it, you know he's going to come through. How much of the time? 100% of the time. 100% of the time. That's why when I see Dan Brown come in here, I know, I didn't know Longview in the beginning. Y'all could have picked me up, carried me out the back door when I had Dan Brown come in here with Tennessee Right to Life. But I know it was the right thing to do. The heart of Longview, that's what's so awesome, because I know you guys have a passion for truth, a passion for the gospel, and the days that we all, including myself, leave here with my feet swelled so much, I want to put them in two igloo coolers when I get home. But I know the awesome part is when I get my life and I get my things in line with God's word, you know what's so awesome? It is refreshing. It is blessed. And we're blessable at that time. Knowing the truth helps protect you from deception. Church, we have to live it. We have to be aware of it. We have to build the ramparts, because if not, we become sheeple. You know what a sheeple is? A sheep to the slaughter. Sheeple, sheep, people, combo, thank you. A sheeple is someone who just does it because everybody tells me that's what I should do. Oh, everybody says it on the news, so it's got to be true. Hey, the government said it. It's got to be true, right? Exactly. Right? The next statement, relax. We're here to help you. That's the next biggest lie, amen? Yeah. You better trust the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and what he will direct your paths. Don't trust. Amen. Knowing truth can help you see the enemy. But I know one thing. When you're in God's word, when you're trusting in him alone, is the all-sufficiency. Don't worry about fear. God's not a God of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind, using the rational sense that God gave us. How many people spent billions of dollars on nuclear bunkers, back in the 40s and 50s? Remember that? It's wild if you ever watch one of those documentaries on it. Everybody was scared to death that everybody was going to die in a mushroom cloud. Y'all remember that? I bet you some of you were in the drills in school, weren't you? When you'd hear those sounds? Go ahead and admit it. Yeah, there you go. You're scared to get dated by it, right? You know what I'm talking about. But look at all that fear-mongering. What happened? Well, time just keeps moving, didn't it? What did all that fear do for probably some people? I bet some people really struggled with PTSD from it. Be wise as a serpent, as the Bible says, but harmless as a dove. Be wise what you put in your brain, church. I'm telling you that. You make sure you're careful with what you put in your brain. Because I can promise you one thing. When you're the lone duck and everybody else, yeah, yep, you get the Pied Piper leading a bunch of people sometimes. But guess what? Sometimes you're that one that you go, wait a minute. You better be able to defend what you believe with God's word. You hear what I said? You better be able to defend what you believe with God's word, not with logic. With God's word. Why can I say what I can say about mainstream media? Because it's directly contradictory to God's word. Lies, innuendo, slander. That's why we know. And then ultimately, what are you willing to lose for truth? Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were ready to die. And they were open and willing when it came time. Because they knew that even if God let them die, they were dying not in vain. Imagine when they see the guys that are pushing them in the fire consumed. Imagine what not only an exercise in faith, but the assurance of the faith that they had and God showing himself faithful to them. I don't want to be popular. I don't want to be rich and famous. I just want to honor my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords. I do. And I'm serious when I said, I think I said it Saturday night. Listen, I don't want to impress you. I don't care about your personal opinion in that sense. I care that I honor Christ Jesus in proclaiming truth, even if it brings you to the point at times where you may hate me. I had a person in this church that's now here that came to faith in Jesus Christ, that the first time they met me, they admitted not about 4 years ago that they left there hating me. Glad I didn't know then, it would have bothered me. And I was like, wow, why? Because I had a truth problem, they said. And they were saying this to say, thank you for preaching and teaching the truth, because I came to Christ as a result of it. I say this to people in counseling continually. Don't serve people, serve Christ. Because what people will do is they will ultimately see your heart. And they will see that you love them and you care about them when you are a lover and an embracer of truth. Will it be tough sometimes when you have to sit down? Yes, it won't be fun, but it's worth it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when you trust God's word, this is what we do know. God will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And if you or I lose everything because we are standing for truth, we have lost nothing, church, because our salvation is as sure and as secure right now as it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ rose on that first Easter morning. Let's pray. Father God, thank you tonight, Lord, for truth, for the word. God, I thank you that there, all around us in the media and all the things that we see, God, it's so hard to know what truth is. But God, I thank you that in your word, we know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.